We actually are going to have help, Heather and I, and part of our team is also here, so we're all going to be up here. You guys didn't know that, but we're all going to be up here sharing. And so let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll have the part of the team that's here come up, and we'll share. You guys are going to have to go with my pictures mostly, but I did steal some pictures from Sheila, and Heather had some pictures too, so some of these you'll recognize and go, oh, wait, I remember that one. So so let's go ahead and let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity that you gave 17 of us to go and to share your love in a pretty unique way by handing out roses to the people in Jerusalem and in Bethlehem. And Lord, we thank you for the way that you blessed our small endeavor, Lord, way beyond our expectations. Lord, 7,500 roses may seem like a lot to us, but it's nothing to you. And yet, Lord, you took that small sacrifice, that small offering, and you increased it beyond our imagination. Lord, we thank you for what you are still doing because of that. We thank you for the hearts and lives that have been changed. And we thank you that both Jerusalem and Bethlehem won't be the same, Lord. We believe that in the name of Yeshua. We believe that ground was retaken for you when we went. It all belongs to you anyways, but it was claimed, reclaimed for you as we went. So, Lord, today as we share the things that happen, Lord, we just ask that you will give us leading and guidance by your Holy Spirit. Lord, that we will share those things that bring honor and glory to you. Fun things, too, but also, Lord, those things that bring honor and glory to you. And we just pray all this in Yeshua's name. And we give you all the glory and all the honor. Amen. So, team, come forward. Come forward. Do you guys want chairs or something up here? I don't know. Okay. And if we could turn this, I guess this is on too, right? This mic. It's on. There we go. That way you guys can all have, all right, stop all that hugging and stuff. Okay. Kalita's the quiet one, yes. Yes, we all know Kalita's the quiet one. Yeah.
You know, picking on the Palestinian is not allowed.
Why not? Yeah.
I got a grandpa in here.
I know, yeah. I know.
Come on, grandpa.
Yeah, but I like pain and suffering, so, you know.
I know.
This one's not. Good time. This one's. Ah, there we go. Okay. I think.
Hello.
No.
Hello.
We're all going to do a duet. No, it's not a duet. It's a...
We're going to do a what?
A quartet.
A duet? A double duet?
All right, we better get started. We'll never get finished. We had a lot of fun.
You can Sheila tell. And I can share this one if you turn it down.
Okay. So first of all, I just put her going outside the gate with the love of Yeshua. And it was kind of the theme. I mean, we were at the gate. We were at Jaffa Gate when we first got to Jerusalem. And the whole, you know, part of what we were doing and what we were all Hello. Kind of anticipating as being something very scary was going on the other side of the checkpoint into Bethlehem. And everybody was kind of going, oh my goodness, what's going to happen when we get on the other side of the checkpoint? You know, you hear all this horrible stuff in the news. Well, as we share, you'll find out just what God had planned and how awesome it was. When you're going with the Lord, you don't have to fear. And I wanted to read one verse, and then I'll turn you guys loose as we go through the pictures. So the one verse that the Lord put on my heart is found in 1 John Chapter 4, starting in verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this is in this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And I think that that really sums up what we experience there. And, you know, there is no fear in love, but perfect. That word perfect actually is complete. Love that is complete casts out fear. And every time we went out with fear, we were afraid and we weren't able to accomplish as much as what God wanted us to do. But when we went out in love, that complete love, totally trusting him, it did away with those walls. It did away with the fear. We weren't bound by that. And I thank the Lord that for the most of the time, I think we were acting in that love. And we saw God move in a mighty way. So I'm just going to go through these.
Don't change that slide yet.
Okay.
Okay, so part of this started back in September when Samuel and I went with my Uncle Charlie and started praying the land. And as you see the gate here, this is Jaffa Gate. And on the left-hand side where that little car is, there's a bench. Note down at the bottom, babe, where you could sit. See, the bench in the wall itself. Anyway, Sam and I sat there. First thing when we got to Jerusalem, we sat right there in that gate and started praying for Jaffa Gate and praying for the shops and praying for the people right there. And it was really cool to see prayers from September happen when we were there in March. So
this is our team. Sorry.
It's our team plus one.
Plus one, yeah. That guy right there. He photobombed our picture.
Okay, so Rahil Patel, he like joined in on our tour with the Garden Tomb, and he's got a really amazing story. He was a Hindu priest in charge with like 1,600 under him, and he would be sent by the Hindu religion to the Vatican, to these places, to make interrelational things happen between religions, and he would go and he would sit in the basilica and he would sit in all these places that he was sent to, and he was drawn to the cross and he didn't know anything about it. And so 4 years ago he became a believer, and he lives in London now. He has this amazing ministry. It's called Found by Love, all about how God called him while he was a Hindu priest. So he like got thrown in on our team.
This is like in the middle of the time that we were there. This is at the Garden Tomb, but we would collect people as we would go through. You know, there were other people that kind of joined the team, you know, just, you know.
Can I say something about that? I remember seeing him roaming around us, and I went to Sally. It's like I'm being mother hen, protective of everybody. It's like, who is that guy? He's hanging out with us. I mean, he's now, you know, wearing the T-shirt. But I could see the Spirit of God on him, and she's like, Heather is talking to him. And I was like, oh, okay, Heather got him. Somebody got him, you know. But maybe he needs to get saved. But then when she was sharing with me, I was like, whoa, look at that.
And he showed up at our hotel a couple days later and all this stuff. I mean, it was just like
it's like
after
part of the family, you know, added on. Adoption.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's another picture of the gate. This is actually from, I think it's from my room.
It's the view
out
from the hotel.
Yeah, it was from our Imperial Hotel, and that was the view from my room looking right at the main road coming in and out of Jaffa Gate.
So it's literally right in the gate.
Yep. Right back over here is where the Temple Mount is. You can't see it in this picture. So this is a shuk, and I think it's Nick and Mazen walking through the shuk. But this is what the shuk looks like if you've never been there. And here's just a meal that we're having at the Imperial Hotel. They treated us so wonderfully there.
The staff was very gracious. We actually wound up, one of the staff members was deaf, and we've all picked up enough sign over the last 9 months that we were able to sign with him a little, even though we have the same, it's like the same root words in sign language, but they're different dialects. And so we were able to tell him he was doing good work and that he looked great today and things. And his face lit up, and it was just really fun.
And here I think we're enjoying the upside down, what was it, that upside down meal that they made for us. with the makluba.
Which is translated to upside down.
Upside down.
It's like
that's what it means.
It's made in this pot and it's all served upside down. It was really awesome.
Yeah. Talita knows all about that.
Yeah. It's the traditional Palestinian meal.
You have to serve it standing upside down too. Right?
That's just for you because you're Jewish.
Just eat it upside down.
That's only for the Jewish people. They have to go upside
down. Oh, you made me stand upside down while I ate that. Yeah, I didn't.
You cannot pick on me without me picking back.
I know.
You.
That's what I enjoy about the whole thing. So this is the rooftop of the Imperial Hotel, and we had devotions up there, and it was absolutely fabulous, especially when all the bells would go off.
I know.
And it was just like this beautiful, I can't say the word,
cacophony
search for the
sea. Of sound.
Thank you, of sound.
And we could see all the way over to the Mount of Olives and see the Western Wall.
Oh, wait, go back. Oh. That was another person we picked up on accident next
to
this Sally.
Lady right here.
Just, we was an accident.
She photobombed that picture.
There was no accident, Heather.
Okay, so we got lost coming back and wound up in front of the Razouk tattoo shop, and which most of you know the Razouks. And so we got to talk to their cousins.
I got a tattoo.
And no,
I didn't.
On the way back, we met this woman who was staying at the same hotel, and she was kind of lost. And it turned out that when she got there, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Aww.
None of the staff were there. She got buzzed in and had to sleep on the couch, and she was just having a really rough start to her trip. And I was like, oh, well, you have to go up to the rooftop and see the view from up there. And she's like, oh, are you going up there tonight? And I'm, we're going to go up and have devotions and worship up there together. And she was like, oh, I might see you up there. And she came, and she sat through the whole thing, almost to the complete end. It was a good hour and a half. And she was there alone, just as a believer, going to the holy sites during Holy Week, but hearing all the testimony of everything that we were doing. And she said she was praying for us that week. So.
Yeah.
This is one of our team devotions, and Dave is there leading worship. We had really precious time together worshiping the Lord.
Oh, makes me miss everybody.
Don't cry, Kalita. Aww. Somebody get her a tissue.
No, I'll use this.
Oh, great.
So you can tell this is what our team was like the whole time. There were 17 of us, plus these two women from Virginia and Daniel. And so most of the time there were 20 of us, and but we had such unity, and we played with each other, and there have been teams for Tour of Roses that have been extremely difficult, different personalities. Yara was never going to come back, and Yara came with her husband. This team was just this amazing, sweet time. And on your bookmarks that you guys had for prayer requests, one of the things was for unity, and God totally answered that.
I would say, too, that it was such a sweet time of we were so transparent with each other. We were putting out our struggles and praying for each other, and it was just God just knit us together through that.
Yeah.
This lady right here caused a lot of problems. So. Oh, wait.
Hey, I got a vote.
Okay, and if you're wondering who the quiet one, Rapunzel right there, her name is Bibi.
Our Bibi.
She's quiet and dainty, and she's very sweet. And when I went into her and Magda's room, they're both from Poland. There's one person that their stuff's everywhere, and the one person, all their stuff's nice and neat. And I said, oh, is this BB's stuff? And Magda's like, no, that's mine. That's BB. BB was prim and proper, but a total mess. It was so fun.
Can I say something about BB? I hugged BB, and I really squeezed her, you know, because I'm lover. I'm just loving on her. Oh, BB, I love you. And she's like, like that. And then she said, I pray for you that you will be gentle. Gentle. What's the name of that princess? Rapunzel.
Yeah,
right?
Rapunzel.
She's my. I said, Bibi, if I have to be like you, I will be on my last breath.
On my deathbed.
I'll be on my deathbed saying, I'm done.
Okay, so the really cool thing is.
But we loved each other.
Before we left. There were 6 people on the team who were significantly behind in the funds we needed to raise. Sam and I, Yara and Dave, Bibi and Gail.
Aww.
And so it was to the point that Bibi had flown in from Poland ahead of time and was staying at the prayer house. And she was going to wind up staying there the whole time praying instead of being with us on the team because she didn't raise enough money. And so she couldn't cover hotels or meals or anything. And we wound up going with a surplus. Dave and Yara went with a surplus. Gail went with a surplus. And she got to stay with us the whole time.
Yeah.
And so that was just really amazing. So thank you to everyone who gave all of over you. And beyond.
Thank you.
Because it didn't just provide for us to go. It provided
for
BB.
Who's causing the trouble there?
It's group mission.
I think I'm probably trying to. Well, never mind.
Yeah.
This is very similar, I mean, very usual for what we would do. We would go someplace. Sally would have her keyboard, and she would just start singing worship songs.
Those are not trash cans. Those are the buckets.
Those are the buckets that had roses in them. And then we would go, and we would take the roses, and we'd pass them out. I don't know who Heather's passing it out to, an invisible person there.
That's me counting the roses and taking them out of the bucket.
But we would go, and we'd pass them out. And in the Shook, where we are here, they just went like that. I mean, the roses were just, they were gone within, you know.
Every other team, we'd go out and pick a location and worship and be there for an hour or two handing out 500 roses at a time. And I don't think any time was longer than 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Just kept going over and over again.
We'll get to Bethlehem. Yeah. We'll, huh?
Do you have a picture of
Bethlehem? Well, not yet. We're kind of going in order. Yes, I do. Yeah. That not very good ones, though. I wish I had better ones. This is a marathon.
Just happened that there was a marathon.
There was 5 marathons.
Yeah.
Yeah. 25,000 runners that went right by our hotel.
Yeah.
And, of course, if you have 25,000 runners, you have a lot of spectators. And so right in front of our hotel you have, and here's the barrier, which the night before they started about 3:30 in the morning bringing all these in, scraping across the stone. That was so wonderful, let me tell you. So I really didn't have very much sleep at this point. But 25,000 runners going by, and we were out here. You can see some of us. I think that's Jürgen right there. It looks like his.
Yeah, I think that's and Jürgen.
Somebody with a rose thing there.
Karen,
somebody down
Gail.
Here. That might be you here.
That's Gail right there. No. That's me.
That's you. Yeah, I think so.
Where are you, troublemaker?
Oh, I'm hiding. Hiding.
Runners were coming by and grabbing roses, asking for them. Yeah. And so they ended up having a lot of runners carrying roses.
Yeah, which was this really cool picture. Oh, do you remember where the verse was? So Jürgen was telling me about the roses and the runners coming. He was standing at the thing watching at the barricade watching the runners come by, and suddenly runners started coming and grabbing roses. And so the roses started going through the old city and throughout Jerusalem. And you would see these roses go throughout the city. And there's a verse that says to entrust the word to the runners. And I can't remember where it was.
But
it's this really awesome verse about putting the word of God and letting it go forth through Jerusalem with the runners.
There was one, they were actually right over here. There was a cross that was right here. And at one point, one of the runners grabbed the cross and carried it, ran with it. So they were obviously believers, and they ran in this marathon through Jerusalem. So that was really cool.
And when we were in the Shuk the first time handing out roses, Sally's in this corridor, and it's a tunnel this way, a little stair step to the right, and another tunnel to the left. And so right in that area where the two streets converge, she's standing there playing her keyboard. And there was a man standing there like this, holding a rose. And I thought he was trying to get attention for his group. This is where I am. I'm standing here. No, he was standing there holding his rose with his keep on his head and standing there proclaiming it. Right there in that spot, and I forgot to give you that picture, but that was a really awesome picture. Yeah, and they would read the card. Now, half the time when it came to the word Messiah, some of the Jews would stop reading, and so they didn't read the rest of the card. But for those of you who don't remember, the card says the same thing it said on all the other trips, red for the blood of the people who died, red for the blood of the Savior, who makes love between us possible, and casts out all fear. And so they would get to the Savior part, and they would stop reading. And sometimes the cards were ripped off, and sometimes people would talk to you about the cards.
I had one situation at the marathon where a guy on the bike, he took the rose. He's a very nice guy. He took the rose, but he read the card, and then he pulled the card off and handed it back to me. He didn't do it in a mean way, just, you know. But an Arab shop owner, Rami, my friend Rami now, he came running across the thing, and he came over. He's like, you need to take the card, too. How could you disrespect him like that? And I'm like, really? I'm okay. Really, it's okay. And he's like, no, it's not okay. They should not disrespect you like that. And the poor guy was kind of like, okay, you know, and he's like going off. And I'll tell you another story a little later with Rami, and you know. But there was a reason for that tension that we saw.
But it started with the prayer walking, and then the roses to the shop owners, and then the roses to the people passing through, and the roses to the runners. And so the shop owners had the roses first, and just able to have conversation with them. And then they were like, wait, you're Jews and Arabs and Christians? And
well,
wait,
that was one of the
on?
Things that Rami had said. He's like, well, the Jews, they just don't respect you. They don't respect any, you know, they should respect. And I'm like, hold on a second. I said, I'm a Jew, and I love you. He's like, what? Kind of like, he didn't know that we were, you know, some of us were Jewish as well. And so that totally changed the whole thing. And then after that, he began to go, oh, wait a second. It's not about them being Jewish as much as it's about their attitude. It's about, you know, where they're at, you know, and we'll talk more about that.
And the
that,
Jewish but. Witness to the Arabs, specifically in handing out the roses, you'd be handing out roses, and the Orthodox are rushing past, they're busy, it's almost Shabbat, they won't look at you, they won't take a rose, and the Palestinian shop owners would say, see, they don't want your rose either. See, this is how they treat us. See? And that's one of the things we need to pray for.
Yeah. But not all of it like that.
It wasn't always like that.
I want to share a quick one that Sheila and I kept going through the shuk right there, you know, on the other side. We kept going. And I think it's the second time after we came from Bethlehem, and it was our last day in Jerusalem, and we about to go to Tel Aviv and leave the following day. And this Arab man, who is a Muslim man, we went there. You and Nick were...
What? We were headed somewhere else.
Yeah, we were going somewhere else.
And God said, go.
And we went, like, directly we went to his shop, and his name is Waleed. And we start talking.
Is this the guy that you will go home and tell your friends forever about how I ripped you off?
No, not that. That was a good one. So her and Nick start looking at all the stuff in there, and I start talking to him, and... He started asking me questions about her, and he started saying to me, I seen you here all week, and you left, but then you came back. And there's something about you people, and you're always hanging out with this gal. What's going on with you and her? It's like, who are you? You know, he's asking who are you to each other. And I looked at her, and I said, he's asking me about you. Would you give me permission to tell him? And I told him, you know, we're Palestinian and Jewish, and we came together. We handed the flower, which is he already knew that. And he goes, no, something else is going on. And I said, you know, this is what's going on. And he goes, you're getting along. He, like, stopped him. He's like, you're not fighting. You're not bickering. You're not mad at each other. You are so in sync. This is impossible. And I said, no, really happening. You know, we so in love. These two were so in love in there. joined at the hip, you know. And he said, the next question he asked me, he's like, tell me about being born again.
Wow.
And I was like, Sheila, oh my God, he's asking me. So I was talking to him, and then all of a sudden this Arab man, another Muslim Arab man came in, and we were talking about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and how God is one, and the other Muslim man start taking things and placing them on the table. You know, he's like, you worship the Father, right? And I go, right. And he put a cup. You worship the Son, don't you? I said, yeah. And he put another cup. You worship the Holy Spirit, don't you? See, you worship three gods. You know, it's like he's setting me up. You know, all of a sudden, the other Arab man, when he did that, he said to him, get out. Get out of my shop. And the other guy, no. He wants to argue with me. You know, it's like, look, she's deceiving you. They worship three gods. And again, he said to him, it's my shop. It's my way of thinking. Get out. I'm talking to her, not to you. And I mean, he kicked him out. He kicked his Arab friend out. We didn't end up leading him to the Lord, but he let me pray for peace over him.
Amen.
He said, would you pray for me? You know, it was very simple. And he said, what name are you going to pray? And I said, the God, the creator of heaven and earth. Are you okay with that? You know, he's like, yeah, you could. And he let me pray over him for peace, because he saw peace between us. He couldn't define it. He couldn't understand it. He couldn't fight it. And he was in a place of like, okay, you know, pray for me. And that was more than good for us to do that, being together.
Yeah. And we heard that over and over. We see something. We see there's a presence. There's love. There's peace. What's going on?
Yeah. And the people in the shuk kept saying to us, this doesn't make sense. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people come to Jerusalem to visit the holy site. One of them said to me, You Christians are stupid. You go and you worship rocks because we go pray at the Western Wall. You know, all of those Jews and all of those Christians. I said, no, we don't worship the rock. It's just, you know, we come here because we know God, the God of the Jews, had history here, you know. Mm-hmm. I was explaining that to him. But then after they saw us together and being in unity, he apologized to me. Mm-hmm. And then he said to me, you're right. You brought something here that no one else ever brought. People are buying things, leaving, and they never stop and look us in the eyes. But yeah, you guys are stopping and talking to us, and thank you. The guy who gave you the necklace.
There was a guy, Rami gave me a necklace one day.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're here, you're doing something good. It was right after we got back from Bethlehem, the first night we were back, and we were on our way to a hotel, and we're just tired, long day. And he came out and he brought me a necklace. It was a Jewish star in different colored stones with a cross in it. And he says, I see that you're doing something different here, and I just want to give you this. And that's significant because nothing's a gift.
Yeah.
They will say, oh, I have a gift for you. Come here. Now you owe me 200 shekels.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah. So it was like a real gift. Right. And then there was the one shop down from the Syrian Christian shop. This guy, he was like, will you come in my shop? I said, well, we're on our way to meet some friends. I don't have time right now. And he looked at me and he said, thank you for speaking with me and not thinking I'm going to stab you. Because of that, I want to give you this. And he gave me this little Jerusalem pin. Yeah. And but it was just, you know, they see it. And I think God started working on me with eye contact. Mm-hmm. About 4 years ago. I don't know if you guys know Bob, the cashier at Safeway. He's deaf. And so I was going through the line, and I was checking stuff out, and I was responding to his questions, and he couldn't read my lips because I wasn't looking at him. I wasn't looking him in the eye. And I realized, ooh, I'm not making eye contact with people. And so pausing and stopping and looking people in the eye has been something. Mm-hmm. And so that was just really significant, too.
This is Stephen Curry. He is the son of Naeem Curry, who is in charge of Holy Land Mission. They are a ministry both in the West Bank and in East Jerusalem, and this is his church in East Jerusalem. We went there Sunday morning before we went to Bethlehem.
This is a church they're renting. They've been kicked out of so many buildings. They've had their church building burnt down. They're trying to raise money for a permanent location.
This is at the YWCA in East Jerusalem.
So this is the Calvary Jerusalem church that's the Arab church there. And one of the reasons they're so hated, specifically amongst other Arab Christians, is these Arabs believe the land of Israel belongs to the Jews and the Jews are God's chosen people and have rejected replacement theology and Palestinian narrative, which is extremely significant. And I just love the look on her face, getting the roses, that the blonde one right there behind Sam.
She was really touched that lady. Yeah, I got to talk to her. She was really touched by us being together.
This one's a little dark, but it's Kalita translating for Sally.
Yeah, that was a great honor to do for Sally. That was fun.
That's when she made him eat the upside down.
Yes. That's true.
That's your upside down picture. Okay,
I was going to turn this around, but Heather said, no, leave it. Go back one. All right.
Okay, at Steve Curry's church, so Sally told them that she was a Jew who believed in Jesus, and she told the story about how her dad was a Jew who came to faith at 82 and became a believer, and then she started sharing about the project. Well, when everything was over, this guy, Kalita comes to sit down. This guy's like in her face, talking to her like this. And I'm like, oh, I hope she didn't translate something wrong or something. You know, he seemed really upset, but he wanted to know, how did the Jews come to believe in Yeshua? Because it was such an impossibility. Yeah. Wait, how did this happen? Yeah. When do we get to hear that story?
Yeah.
So that was really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, now you can go forward.
Upside down.
Okay, so this is in Bethlehem.
At our hotel in Bethlehem, which was a very nice hotel.
Oh, this is not our hotel. This is the Holy Land Hotel that we went to because it turned out one of the reasons the roses were so expensive while we were there and we didn't realize it was Mother's Day in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Which is why we paid more for these roses than any roses we've ever had to pay for, plus VAT tax. So this woman, she was cleaning, and she was just outside, and she had a trash can and a mop and broom, and Sally had given her a rose, and so this is her before we went in for the Mother's Day brunch with the Arab believers. And afterwards, she talked with you.
Yeah, I gave her a hug, and I was talking to her, and she was telling me that she's a widow, she doesn't have any kids, and no one ever gave her anything. For the first time in her entire life, someone gave her something free.
Wow.
And it was
the rose.
It was the rose. She was really touched by it. And she's very old. She's in, like, you know, getting there in age, and she still have to work and support herself.
Yeah, she had to be about 70, 75 years old, and no one had ever given
her
a gift.
No one ever given her anything except that rose. That was the mark. Yeah.
But, okay. Yeah. Nope.
Go ahead.
Right outside our hotel,
we gave
out roses in Bethlehem. After we got to Bethlehem, we went right outside the door and we started giving out roses. And these are some of the people that we gave out roses to.
Yeah.
And there's Nick giving some roses out, one of our team members here. And the people were very receptive.
Right, very open.
You know, initially, before you gave them the rose, they were kind of looking at you like, what are you doing, you know?
Nothing's a gift.
Yeah, they're suspicious.
We started giving out the roses, and the cars started stopping. They wanted roses, so we caused this traffic jam in front of the hotel. Because everybody wants one, you know? And
we had them lined up on both sides. Cars honking. All in a row. Stopped all traffic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is the Mother's Day brunch.
Mother's Day brunch.
It was the Bethlehem Baptist Church, Holy Land Missions, and they even had some people from Hebron that came to this. We had just eaten this huge breakfast and showed up, and we thought it was just like a worship meeting, and then it turned out to be a brunch, and we had to eat more food. Darn it.
We were just like, oh, my gosh, I don't know if we can eat. And you can't not eat.
Nana tea.
Yeah, we had a lot of nana tea, which is mint tea, to settle your stomach.
Going back, like when we first went to Bethlehem, that morning we had gone to Stephen Curry's church. That night we went to Naeem Curry. And I don't think we have a lot of pictures from that one because half of us fell asleep. Not because he was boring, but because we were so tired that, you know, I kept trying to stay awake and kept falling asleep. But the church that he leads is it's a really neat story. Later on, he gave us his testimony. And
I did not fall asleep because I was so excited to see Naeem Curry because I had been in his church when I was 17 and was staying in Beit Jala. And we went to his church and he was talking about loving the Jews, and his church was covered in graffiti, and at the time it was this like two-bedroom little house and that had smoke damage on it and all this stuff because he believes in the full Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so people would say, why aren't you preaching the gospel anymore? Because you're preaching the Old Testament. And he's like, I am preaching the gospel. The gospel's in the Old Testament.
Yeah, I really think there was a combination of us being tired but also feeling safe.
Yeah.
And that combination just, you know, it's like, I can rest.
It was such a build-up emotionally of going in through the checkpoint. Yeah.
I was
going
to say, at first, were you a little scared? Because I was.
Oh, absolutely.
When I first came in, I really was like, what am I doing?
Well, and some of you remember that we said before we went we were going to have a security team.
Oh, our Navy SEALs, our ex-Navy SEALs.
The security team didn't show up.
We didn't need
so
it. God,
we didn't need
that.
It. No, we had a much better security team.
Yeah. But you know what? We never got stopped at the checkpoints. Every time we crossed over, two, three times, you know, we crossed over. And one time that guy was talking to Daniel about the basketball team.
Yeah. Even bringing you in, we didn't get stopped. It's amazing.
Well,
we had on the prayer bookmarks to pray for social and political calm. And when we came home, Samuel read that every month was about 50 to 60 violent acts every month.
Yeah.
And while we were there the entire month of March, there were
90% drop in violence while we were there giving out these roses.
Yeah.
And pretty
and
amazing.
All the prayer, I think.
Yeah.
It's not just
There were still skirmishes in the morning. There was tear gas in the air. And the whole time we were in Bethlehem, my eyes were irritating me because of the tear gas that just lingers in the valley there.
Yeah.
So you had tear gas mornings and roses in the afternoons. And
this is at the Mother's Day thing that I wasn't at.
So Sally's sharing about her testimony and her life and being Mother's Day and how she has these three autistic children and how difficult it was to be given this gift from God and trying to think differently and process things differently and learn how to speak their languages and all this stuff. And this woman stands up in the middle of Sally talking. She's totally not even finished with a sentence. This woman stands up and she's like, "You're speaking directly to me. I say all the time to my daughter, I wish you were dead. And she went on and on and on and about how all of a sudden she was convicted about how she needed to change her attitude towards her daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just a really cute lady with the rose.
Oh, here's the decoration. Can you say something? Yeah.
About the ladies?
This is so awesome.
Yeah. The Croatians
or
the ladies?
Yeah.
The Croatians. Okay, are you going
to
go?
No, go ahead.
So we get into Bethlehem, and we were tired. We had gotten the roses. We weren't sure how getting through the checkpoint was going to be. We were scared, fearful. You know, we had all these things to deal with. So we get to the hotel, and the hotel staff says, put the roses in an upstairs room, and it's a chapel. And so we throw them in there, and we go and check into our hotel, and we go eat. And we come back, and we go to open the door, and there's people in there chanting. We weren't sure what was going on. And so we shut the door and we wait and they file out. And then eventually when everybody files out, we go in and the one person remaining is a Catholic priest. This gentleman in the white shirt. And he doesn't speak very much English.
He's from Bosnia-Herzegovina, but he ministers in Croatia to these Croatian people.
And so we're sitting there trying to talk to him, trying to tell him we need to get into this room to do the roses, and there's this big language barrier. And one of our group, there were only about four or five of us, just busts out singing "Nothing But the Blood of Jesus." Yeah. And he goes, and he starts singing with us, and we start singing "Nothing But the Blood." And in just that one thing, I didn't see a picture. I don't know if you saw yet what was going on there, but as God added things, the next day we ended up worshiping with them. They invited us, come worship with us. And so we came, and they sang in Croatian, and we clapped along. And then they were like, "You go." And we sang in English. And then we figure out that one of our people speaks German, one of their people speaks German. So we do this, English to German, German to German, German to Croatian.
Croatian to German, German to English. And then English to German,
German to German. No, German to German. It was German to German, German to Croatian. So we get this conversation going, and Sally gets to share why we're there. And she talks about John 17, which is Jesus praying that we would be one through the love of Jesus. And the priest, he goes, "Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit." That's his same, their same scripture for
that
the trip.
They were focusing on.
Yeah. And so the next day, the next 2 days, as we saw this group, every time we saw them, it was love and unity. And little did we know, the Muslim staff of the hotel are watching all of this take place.
Yeah. Well, and when Sally shared her testimony, he asked Sally a very specific question. She was talking about getting to the place where you give up your pain. And you give up your hurt, and you give up your wounds and your scars, and giving them over to God. And they asked, "How do we get this?" And so that was like this really cool moment. And Nick shared really well about, you know, how for him it was his pride had to go first. He had to admit that he was wrong and all these things. And so, and different people shared how God healed deep wounds in their life. And you're talking Bosnia and Croatia. And how do we get rid of our wounds? And their
denominationally different.
Their genocide between those two people and all this stuff. And how do we get rid of our wounds? And then,
but God just did this.
Yeah, and it didn't matter that they were Catholic.
Yeah, and so the Muslim staff is watching this. Mm-hmm. And when we were leaving the hotel, before we left the hotel, Khalida had the chance to pray with two Muslims that were watching all of this.
Here's one of them.
Yeah, Mu'tasim. Oh yeah, right there. Mu'tasim got accepted the Lord in that room, in that chaplain. I prayed with him just like that.
And then another man on the last day.
But try not to use names in case they're reported.
Mu'tasim ended up coming and...
Too late, Mu'tasim.
Yeah, coming and joining us for part of our devotions and stuff like that.
Handed out roses with us, and actually and he cleaned did roses work. He was so happy.
Yeah, he cleaned a lot of roses.
And it turned out he was from the camp we were going to.
Yeah, I know he was asking us about the camp, and Sally kept saying, "You cannot tell him where we're going. I'm like, I cannot tell you where we're going, but I mean, he figured it out. How many camp there is in Bethlehem? Come on. One. We're going there.
This is outside our hotel room. This is from the...
In Bethlehem?
Yeah, in Bethlehem. Because we were right on the edge. It sure was.
Yeah.
This is the Paradise Hotel. This is across from our hotel.
You guys have a hotel in Israel. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Move us all there.
This is at Bethlehem Square. It's the Mosque of Omar.
In Manger Square.
That's the Nativity, where the Nativity Church is on the other side. You'll see a picture of that in a minute. But we went there first to pray. The first time we went there, Sally began to lead worship, and we just walked around the square and started
to pray. No roses,
just
prayer walking. Yeah.
And so this is that time where we're there just praying, walking around the square.
So one side of the square is the Bethlehem Peace Center. Mm-hmm. Another side is the Palestinian Authority Municipal Building. Yeah. The third side is these shops here.
This is Mazen. He is one of our team members talking. He's also a Palestinian
And the fourth side is the Nativity Church.
Yeah.
And Khalida, I think even that day you got to pray with some people to receive the Lord.
On that day we got the three girls that got saved together.
Okay, so this was really cool.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sally's playing her piano right here in the shop, and she's playing and singing and worshiping God, and we're just praying and in groups around the whole square, and the mosque started up, and it is loud. And these three women made their way, Muslim women. They hear the mosque overhead, but God is calling them in Sally's song, and they were called and pulled by the music, and then you got to pray with them.
Yeah, that was really a precious time for me because there was three of them, and one of them was a drone, Haneen. Haneen means longing.
Wow.
That's what the name means in Arabic, to long for. That was her name. So she was just drawn by the Holy Spirit and longing for the music, and then already Elaine was trying to talk to her, and the other girl doesn't, you know, Haneen doesn't speak any English but speak Arabic. And the minute they came in, Elaine was like, here's my friend Khalida. You know, it's like, dump the Lord on Khalida. Khalida speaks. But she could tell from the spirit that Haneen was really hungry. And I start talking to Haneen, and two of her friends were with her. And one of the friends said, you're talking about Jesus. We don't want to talk to you. I was, you know, started telling them about the Lord and what we're doing there. And the one friend refused, and she actually stepped back. And then I just start, you know, I was just talking to Haneen, and I think Haneen said to her, shh, you know, we want to hear what she has to say. So she be quieted, but she was a little bit far away. And then all of a sudden, she got so close to my face, and she was saying to me, I want to kiss your face. I see light in your face. I see love in your face. Can I kiss you? And I'm like, talking. And she's, okay, go ahead and kiss me. She started kissing my face. And I think God just drew her right in as she saw the love and saw the Lord right through my face, which is really honor for me. Wow. And it was just amazing. We just, 1 minute, prayed for all the three to come to the kingdom, just like that.
Wow.
And then we had the six guys that came to the Lord. So we had three, and then we had double portion within like 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
Six guys
crazy.
Got, yeah.
And this guy is watching Khalida over the 2 days that we're there, and he's walking around, and he's watching her, and everywhere she is in the square, this guy's kind of stalking her, and we're getting freaked out.
I know, like, you stay right here by me, Sam.
Bethlehem-born, ex-Muslim, please don't let him report her in any honor killings. God, protect Khalida. Keep her safe. They could hurt her. And so we're just praying and praying. And it turned out that he was a believer.
Yeah, he was a believer. And he said to me, I'm sitting here watching you. I just want to tell you, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian believer. I didn't know how to talk to them. I mean, like, you're talking to them. You're not even scared of them. You're talking to them.
Never seen that kind of boldness.
Seen that kind of boldness. He's like, can I pray over you? And we all across in the street, Sally's like, come on, Khalida. And I'm holding on the man, and the man is holding on me, you know, here in the middle of the square. And we're going to pray. We have a moment, you know. We're holding each other. And I think everybody's like, there is a man. There is a woman. They hold. holding each other. They're not married to each other. You know, like,
which is also taboo.
Yeah, which is taboo. But he was so blessing me, and he was like, you have to come back to this spot, to this square. You have to come back. The mosque is over there, but the church is over there. It was like... amazing.
Yeah, and that they really had never seen that happen there.
Right, they never seen.
They had never
love.
Seen somebody come and share openly the
right,
love of Jesus.
The love of Jesus with anybody. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh wait, hold on. Oh. Okay, so this is the Church of the Nativity, but right before this, which is Kalita talking to a cab driver, you know, you can't see. Kalita had gotten into this conversation with a guy that came out of the mosque or something. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about that real quick? You had this debate back and forth,
yeah,
and then you went into the Shema. Yeah. You went into, you
oh, yeah,
remember
yeah.
that.
This,
yeah.
This guy I was talking to, and he was so drawn, and then he couldn't figure out what the heck I was saying to him, but he was so drawn by it, so he went to somebody else and told him what I was telling him. And the guy was arguing with me and telling me, oh, you bring in other gods. You know, they have this idea that we worship three gods in there, or we worship the rocks in Jerusalem. So we're crazy out of... you know, crazy out of this world Christian. And I would just, you know, I wasn't going to argue with him, but we were talking about God being one and how we define God being one and we being one, you know, talking about all of that. And then he was saying it, and I said, you know what, I'm going to hit him with the Shema. And I go, you know, it's like...
In Hebrew. Palestinian.
In Hebrew. Yes.
Telling some Muslim about the Trinity by using the Shema in Hebrew in Bethlehem in the square.
Yeah, because I'm listening to the Arabic conversation, and all of a sudden she goes into Shema Israel, Adonai. Yeah. I'm like, what?
And basically what I was saying to him is the Jewish and the Christian worship the same God. And this is how the Christian will see it. And that's how the Jewish everyday pray, that God gave them this prayer to recite every single day, remembering that God is one. It's not three. So I hit him with that. And then I said, God bless you. I love you. I got to go now. And some of the Arab men were like, you say, I love you. And they, my wife doesn't even say I love you to me. It's like they want to just shoot me for saying I love you. And I said, you know, we're from America. That's how we talk to each other all the time. So deal with it. We're foreigners, you know, who brought it in. And
but then she's like, I better get out of here. So we got her in a cab.
Because now the mosque people are coming out.
So the cabbie, by the time we got back to the hotel, Kalita's talking to him the whole time. And by the time I got back to the hotel.
Kalita was an orphan. He was an orphan.
Yeah, he was an orphan. And we ended up talking about, he's like, you don't understand my circumstances. I was an orphan. I got dropped in this world. Nobody ever wanted me. And I said, whoa, I have a similar situation. I'm an orphan too. And nobody want me. And I start telling him all about the thing. And before we ended up leaving the cab, he came to the Lord.
Well, he was like, peace descended on him.
Just and as like just somebody like, else. Yeah,
like
somebody
mellow. Yeah. And Jurgen's with us, and me and Sam, and Jurgen's like, does he want a rose? I'll go see if we have a new. And we like almost have no roses left.
Yeah.
So we think there's no roses. Jurgen goes in to get a rose, and while Jurgen's getting a rose, he's praying with Kalita for salvation.
Yeah.
And Jurgen comes back and gives him the rose.
It was really amazing. It was really amazing, the favor.
And so this is the next day, and like I said, I don't have very many pictures, but this is also in that same square where that's Nick and I standing there getting ready to pass out some roses.
So a couple people showed up with Sally and the keyboard and several buckets of roses, and then the next team had to show up with several buckets of roses because we wound up not being able to rent the vehicle that we wanted because the insurance is only good in Israel, and it you don't have any insurance in the West Bank. And so Sally's like, there is no way I'm being responsible for this. And it's a good thing because they drive insane.
So there were waves of roses
coming. As the roses, the first set of roses are almost completely gone.
And then the next set of roses come.
Yeah, and then the next set of roses come. And then the next set comes.
And they walk by so quick.
Yeah. Oh, and this was after we had done the camp. And so the camp was really hard. Do you have pictures of the camp?
I don't have any pictures of the camp. But before you go to the camp, I have one story I want to tell here. So there was a shop owner that Sally had been out in front doing worship the night before. And when we brought the roses, Sally had given her a rose. And she finally read what the rose said, and she knew that Sally was Jewish. And so she came back out at one point, and she gave Sally back the rose. And she's like, I know what you're doing, and I don't agree. I don't, you know. and she gave Sally back the rose. Now, this was supposedly a Christian lady. There wasn't a very many Christian shop owners there, but they were one of the ones. And so Sally looks at me, and she's a little discouraged, and we're both kind of, you know, because I was standing next to her as she was doing the worship. And so we stopped the worship for a second, and Sally's like, will you go with me to go talk to her? And I said, yeah. So we go back in, and she's kind of looking at us like this, and
because she knows what she did is totally wrong.
Right, doesn't want to look at us, you know. And so Sally goes up and starts talking and says, this is why we're here, because of this pain and this hurt that has happened. That is why we're here, you know, because, and then she just busts out. She's like, well, your people have done this to me and this to me, and your people have, you know, and she's just letting it out on us, you know. And I was overwhelmed with just compassion, and I just started, you know, and I felt the Lord, because Sally had been able to say one thing, but I felt the Lord telling me to just apologize to her. And I said, you know what, I am so sorry for what my people have done to hurt you. You know, I'm not, no politics there, no whatever, just what my people have done to hurt you. I'm sorry, you know. And as I said it, I was crying, and she looked at me, and she's like, don't cry, and she starts crying, yeah. You know, and then she hugged Sally, and it just broke down the wall completely, yeah. Yeah. And then I looked over, and her dad is standing over there watching the whole thing, and there's a tear coming down his eye, aww. Just one tear coming down his eye. But as I thought about it, part of the issue is that the Christians in Bethlehem have gotten hard and angry and bitter and resentful and unforgiving, and that has opened the door to Islam coming in, yeah.
It used to be 20% of Bethlehem and was believers Christian, yeah. And Christians,
but it's,
and now it's less than 8%.
But let me finish the point I'm making. It's become this hardness, mm-hmm. And part of what we were doing was breaking through and showing that yes, there can be forgiveness and we can love each other. And that has to be broken up. I mean, it's the believers that their hearts have to change. And then the community will change. Yeah. And that's what we need to know here. We have to change. This is our responsibility, the way our country is here even. That's our responsibility. We can't blame the unbelievers.
Right.
It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. And so that was part of what we were doing there too, is to encourage and also to exhort the believers in the land to forgive and to show that we love them, you know, and to break down some of those walls.
Anyways. And it's not just on the Arab side, it's on the Jewish side too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There's with the tension, it's so powerful that if you're not focused on Jesus, you get drawn into it. Because my friend who's been there for a year and a half almost now, she's Jewish, she came and worshiped with us at one of the Arab congregations. Yeah. And afterwards she said, oh man, that was life-changing for me. I didn't realize how much hardness was in my heart, yeah. for the Palestinian people.
Yes.
And she said,
I
needed that.
Absolutely.
And so I can't imagine with the daily pull how hard it is to keep your eyes focused and just to remain in love and not get drawn into that.
And that's, you know, the neat thing about having Palestinians and Jews on our team.
Together.
And then also Americans and Europeans and coming together in unity and doing this and how that affected it. We're really out of time already.
So we were here, we were doing this, in Bethlehem, there were some children who were just like panhandling. We wound up giving our lunches, half our sandwiches to them and all this stuff. And they were like blown away. Wait, you'll give me your sandwich and I don't have to give you money?
They were suspicious at first.
I know. They're like, what's wrong with it?
Hold on, wait.
And when we had gone to the refugee camp, it was pretty awful. You have to consider the spirit of poverty. And I really had a really hard time. And Magda sat down and talked with me about how she was dealing with the homeless in Warsaw and how nothing is ever enough. There's this empty void because the next day they may not have food. The next day. So I need stuff for today. I need stuff for tomorrow and all the stuff. And so that's this
gluttonous.
Magnified.
It's like a gluttonous thing.
Yeah. And so we go in with these roses and we can't go 5 feet. And there's this almost parasitical field of children who are not in school, who are not being cared for, who are just crawling all over you.
Squalor.
Yeah, living awful in squalor. Poverty. Can't even. There's a huge issue with the camp. The UN rents the land from the Palestinians. The Palestinians won't bring in water and fix the sewage because the UN's in charge of the ground. Well, the UN won't do it because the Palestinians are in charge of it. But all of that is blamed on Israel. And so it's really those two people going back and forth. And so the children are in this, I mean, it was just a mess. And we're trying to walk, and we can't breathe, and we're holding roses over our heads because they're yanking them out of our hands. Dave, who's 6'6", you can see here, he gets punched in the back. Jürgen got kicked several times. And Dave admitted that night that when he got punched, that spirit of fear that we were constantly battling the whole time we were there, he was like, when's the rock coming for my head? And how he had to immediately stop and pray because it was this infectious storm. And so the next day when we went back to that square in Bethlehem and we were doing the roses, and get one rose. You get one rose. You don't get 20. You don't get 50. You get one rose. And we're not giving the roses to the children and all this stuff. And so that was most of our experience. While Sally had an incredible time being able to share with the children, I'm Jewish and I'm here because I love you stuff. But for the rest of us, it was this massive storm.
In fact, for her, it was like Jesus. They were like,
yeah, like the children surrounding Jesus, the children surrounded Sally, and they just ate up every word that came from her mouth. Now, for us, they were awful, but for Sally, they were wonderful.
So,
hold on. Music. So when we went to the square the next day, I can't stand rude kids anyway, right? There's a big difference between a rude child and a rambunctious child. I don't mind if they have energy and are fun and crazy, but I can't stand rudeness. And so I've been, like, in this field of children, and I've just really had to get my heart right that night. And we're playing in the square, and I'm handing out all the roses, and I'm handing out all the roses. And this little girl, about this tall, had to be about 6, is walking home from school, and she's got her backpack. And I give her a rose. And she walks halfway around the block and comes back. And she said, really hard, trying to pronounce English really well, 2. I said, no, you get 1. And she tried again, and she tried to pronounce it better, 2. No, you only get 1. And she stuck out her big lip, and she's so cute, and she's like, 2. And so we had these roses that had the stems had snapped, and I had taken the broken heads and put them across the top of Sally's keyboard, and I collected all of those, and there were 4 or 5 of them, and I handed all of them to her, and she's just like, oh, I get all of these? I just wanted 2. And then after that, I was just like, oh, you're this good, sweet child. I will give you anything. No. But I needed that healing moment. And so when we went into Bethlehem, now we can go to this man.
This is the Bishop of Bethlehem. He actually owns the hotel we were staying in. And he is basically shaking hands with all these heads of state. You know, he said Obama wouldn't shake his hand.
Oh, yeah, there's a whole story on Bush came and shake everybody's hands. Clinton came and shook everybody's hands. Obama would not.
But to keep this from being political. Anyway, so he ended up having his hotel staff cook us this incredible lamb dinner.
What was it called?
Sister Kalida requested.
Kalida asked, what was it
called? Sister Kalida requested.
It's a special meal.
Called Mensef.
Mensef.
Cooks all day. Yeah, it's very special.
Yeah. Anyways, and so he's serving us here. Yep. He came in and he served it to us.
Because they saw
he had
all
seen
the, stuff, yeah.
the effect and everything that had happened in Bethlehem.
And Daniel had been telling me, like, that morning, oh, he's so arrogant. This is Daniel, by the way. He's
this
really
is Daniel.
Awesome. The redheaded one.
Oh, sorry.
So Daniel's telling us he's so arrogant. He goes and he sits in state in the Nativity Church, and you can go in and kiss his hand, and people go in and kiss his feet and treat him like the Pope and blah, 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 and he's telling me all this stuff. And then here he is serving us dinner. And so that was just really cool.
This is Pastor Naeem from the Holy Land Mission. Daniel works with him. Daniel was our main guy that kind of helped us get...
Drove us around,
yeah,
make connections.
He did a whole bunch for our team.
We probably wouldn't have been able to do half of what we did without Daniel.
No.
And so, of course, after we left Bethlehem, Satan attacked him, and he was the van that he rented was hit very hard. He had neck and back pain, and the man who hit him was somebody that they don't want anything to do with in Bethlehem because three of his sons have been suicide bombers. And so now all of a sudden they have a way to minister to this man.
Pastor Naeem will be following up on some of the people who received the Lord, too. And
17 Muslims in 4 days prayed to receive the Lord in Bethlehem. Because we were there and connected with a church, we were able to get them into discipleship.
Hopefully. So.
Me and Pastor Naeem.
They have history because Heather went to his church a long, long time ago, as you shared earlier. Yeah. This is at the Garden Tomb. That's where I slept one night, and just getting up. No, I'm just joking. I'm joking.
So we wound up going back to Jerusalem, and we were able to do roses on Easter morning at the sunrise service and be at the Garden Tomb.
Yep.
Keep so going.
Both
click.
Coming out. Yes, okay. Oh, Sheila and Kalita. Wow, amazing. There they are, too. This is at the Damascus Gate. You probably heard in the news there's a lot of
violence
that happened here. And when we were here, we first came here and we prayed, and Sally sang, and we just prayed around the gate. And while we were there, here's Sally singing here and some of our team praying. See this young man right here? I noticed him. He had come and he had sat back here behind Sally. And there was just something about him that kind of caused me to go, okay, I'm going to watch this kid because, you know, he looks a little dangerous. But I told Kalita, I said, why don't you go talk to him? And okay, so she did.
Well, him,
Palestinian.
No, I mean, you
know. We can't talk to him.
You could tell he threw me to the wolves all the time.
Okay, but the cool thing was he had come there with two other friends. They had all been in prison for 2 years for some crime of violence they had committed. And they had come there to remember. And we're there doing worship. And I don't know what they had intended for that day.
But I think we broke it off because I was just talking to him and he was just, they didn't know what to say to me. And I think God distracted him by just me sitting next to him. And before we know it,
they asked it you got to pray with them for peace.
I got to pray for peace with them before they left.
And then they left without causing any violence, without doing any, anything.
In there and they ended up in jail and all of that awful.
And I wonder too, like hearing these things, when I got home, so many of the people that were praying for me said as they were praying, they were bawling. And I don't know if very many people experienced that, but I can only think that there were major things going on in the spiritual realm.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we thank God for the prayers. See, we had the Orthodox had come several times, and they had harassed us. I don't have any pictures of the Purim, where we gave out roses the night for the Purim rave, which was quite exciting. Right before, it was the day before this, I believe, and that night we had gone out, we'd given out the roses. The Orthodox by this time knew us. Now that we'd come back to Jerusalem, they knew, it's those crazy,
They called us horrible names, like Shiliach. Which means apostle and disciple.
Horrible. I mean, please insult me again. Insult me again, please. Anyway, the night before, we had the guy screaming that, and that's the second time Ramin came out, and he starts yelling. He starts yelling at this guy who's yelling at me, and he's like, "He can do whatever he wants here. You leave him alone." And they're like nose to nose. And I'm just sitting there going, don't hurt each other. Please don't hurt each other. So I just walked away with the roses, and they, I guess, dispersed. But it was quite interesting. But the next day, Sally, she hadn't been able to have any of this fun with the Orthodox. So she decides she's going to go
Daniel was amazed with what God did with the Muslims in Bethlehem. He's like, let's go to the Orthodox quarter.
Yeah.
To the Jewish quarter.
So they do. They went off to the Orthodox.
Later that evening, she said, I'm sorry. I put us in danger. I didn't pray about it. Because they went in things started being okay. They handed out roses. Several Orthodox people were taking roses. It wasn't like they were coming for them and it was fast. It was really slow, one rose at a time. And another man came and started snatching the roses out of their hands and stealing them and breaking them. And
before that, actually, as we started handing them out, we ran into a Messianic Jewish man who's like, I'm going to pray for you. And so he sort of was on the outskirts praying for us the whole time, and then we settled down to play music, and this Orthodox, I think it was a rabbi or something, it looked like a rabbi, comes and starts yelling at us and chasing us out, and as we're leaving, just in peace, we kept telling Beseder, Beseder, it's okay, we're leaving. And so we're walking out just peacefully, and he, as he's following us, chasing us basically, he's ripping roses out of people's hands, and they're shocked. They're just like, what's going on? And it was really interesting, too. There was a group of tourists, and I don't know if you guys have ever seen Hunger Games, you know, where they do this. Every single one of them lifted off their hat and held it as we walked by, as they saw what was going on.
Wow.
And so, and then they chased us for like a mile. And
Daniel had to go get...
Yeah, well, we're like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? So I said to Daniel, I'm like, okay, we're going to go right, you go left, duck behind the tree, take off your shirt, and then double back.
And they called me back at the place where we were staying, and I was like coordinating. I had to call Daniel back. Yes, Sally's okay. They're on their way. And
yeah, thankfully, you know, we had phones. That was helpful.
But I took a group, and we went to a park, and we had a very nice time with people sitting out in the park, and we got conversation with them, and handed out roses, and had great conversation with those that could speak English. We went to this one, this stand here, and there was it's an Arab-owned stand that was in this park. But the guys took the CD, because we were giving out some CDs, and they put it in their loudspeaker, and they blasted it across the whole park. So Sally's singing her songs, and you have this praise music going out across the whole park.
And you had, like, young college kids would ask us, why are you here? Why are you doing this? We're here because we love Israel. We want to say that we support Israel, and we're here because we love both peoples of it. And they would start crying because you have a small country that's hated by the world. And keep clicking through because we have to end.
Yeah,
but it was
House of Samuel. That's why I have that one with the roses. But I have another thing. Not all the Orthodox were that way towards us. Many of them were very respectful, and I had this one guy, really big, huge guy. Orthodox guy comes up to me. He's like, what are you doing? You know, and I'm like, well, we're handing out these roses. And what does it mean? You know, well, this is what it means. And we're just saying that we love you. God loves you. And he's like, let me read the card. So he reads the card, you know, and I'm like, okay, what is this guy going to do? You know, huge, you know, almost as tall as Dave. And then he's like, can I give you a hug? And I'm like, sure. So, you know, we had times like that. Yeah, you know, we had times like that. This is at the Garden Tomb, sunrise service at the Garden Tomb.
We ran into Messianic believers in the Shuk who would go by and go, wait, what are you doing? I'm a believer, and I'm praying for you. And it was just really wonderful. And so this is handing out at the Garden Tomb.
Mallory, one of our team members, giving out roses at the Garden Tomb. Some of the people receiving the roses.
This is the Arabic Church, Jerusalem Alliance with Shukri and Mazen.
Pastor Mazen. And, Pastor Mazen Shukri preaching. On the drums, but they're... Go back.
They want Samuel to come back and preach.
Yes, Pastor Mazen has invited me to preach. This is Sally. Pastor Mazen's explaining. This was, once again, Arabic Church in East Jerusalem there. And Sally got to sing a song. We gave out roses to them as well. And they just have a really sweet group of people there. Right?
We decided if we lived in Jerusalem, this would be our Sunday morning church. Would be with the Arabic church. And then the evenings would go to King of Kings.
That was really fun.
But it was really cool. We got to go to a Messianic service at Christ Church on Saturday. There's a very small, not even a real Torah service. There's a few blessings said. They don't wear prayer shawls. They don't wear kippahs. And they said it's because we know what our identity is. And that should speak to the Messianic community in America.
What he specifically said was, in America, you have Baptist churches and you have other churches, so you have to show your identity. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm also a pastor of a Baptist church. I do both. So it was kind of funny. It was kind of funny. But
the Messianic community had been so closed and didn't want to be a part of anything we were doing. And so right
open,
before the service, Sam went and said, you know, I'm a pastor. I know how people come right before service and they say they want to do something. But this is what we're doing. And if it's okay with you, if Sally did a song, we'd like to hand out roses to your congregation. And afterwards, after it all worked out, which Sally was convinced it was not going to work out, after it worked out, they said... one of the women in charge came over and said, I can't tell you how blessed we were. One, by your husband's humble approach and asking, and two, because we need more unity in the Messianic community. And when we went to King of Kings that night with our friends, which a lot of our music comes out of King of Kings now, we were telling that story to our friends who live there in Jerusalem. They said, that's amazing, because the Messianic community at Christ Church cuts themselves off from everyone. And so for them to say we need more and we need to be more open in the Messianic community was a huge thing. So just God had different layers of what he was doing the whole time we were there.
We're going to speed it up now. But King of Kings, if you ever go to Jerusalem, you get an opportunity to go 5 or 6 o'clock on Sunday evening. Great opportunity to go. Incredible church. It's huge. It's
like worshiping with the Church of Jerusalem that you read in the Gospels. Yeah. You go in, they read in English what the Parsha is, a couple verses, from the Torah portion, the Haftorah, and the Brit Hadashah reading. Then they have worship in Hebrew and in English, and then Chad preaches in English, and it's about 1,500 people.
This is Tel Aviv.
We should just end, babe.
Tel Aviv, these are pictures. We're almost done. House of Simon the Tanner.
By the way, his house is not inside of the middle of the city. When Peter's sitting on the roof and the sheet comes down, Simon the Tanner's house is on the wall facing the water. It's literally the wall of Jaffa. And so he's up on the rooftop enjoying the surf. So now you have to picture that differently.
Then we went to the Sea of Galilee. We got to go on a worship boat. That's us waiting to get on the boat. This is some of us on the boat. This is Sally talking to us on the boat. The guy who had this boat is a Messianic Jew, and he does worship. And I've actually given some CDs to our worship leader because he also takes common songs that we sing and puts them into Hebrew. I got the privilege to baptize 3 people, Sheila being one of them, in the Jordan River. And so that was a real blessing for me. Yeah, oh yeah, there's huge catfish. Nobody eats the catfish because they're not kosher, so they get their run of the Jordan.
And turtles. So.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the nasty fish. Aww. Keep going.
Heather's favorite meal. Yes. It was
I don't
good.
Eat
it was
fish,
good.
And so
fish.
I don't eat fish, and this guy is like, here's the fish, and he's got this fish that's freshly caught that has just been gutted, and he's running his fingers through the stomach guts, and oh, look at this fish. Don't you want to eat it? It's so amazing.
Mount of Beatitudes.
He brought the fish, and the heads are still attached, and I'm just like, I'm just going to stick with the kebab, which was a huge mistake because I got lamb beef hamburgers that were raw. And I was kept sending him back. I don't like raw
fish.
Meat. I don't like pink meat. It was gross fish.
We could be here another hour because there was so much more stuff that happened. But God moved in an incredible way. Thank you all for your prayer. Thank you for your support. You know, please be praying for the 17 new believers in Bethlehem and all the others that were also just affected by. Will you people behave back there? They can't behave. They just never could. Yeah. I never caused any problems, but they were, you know, the whole time. Yeah. Anyways. All right.
Hold on. One last thing.
One last
thing. Kalita got a phone call after we left.
Oh, yeah. That was cool.
When are we coming to Ramallah?
This. You
people are hearing a week later. People are hearing about the roses in other cities. When is this coming? When is this coming?
Let
when
Kalita
is this coming?
Share.
No, we don't have time for the whole thing. I'm just
okay,
summing
all right,
up.
All right.
So right now there's no other trips planned. So pray for that because there's people saying, when is this coming? And no matter where we've gone, Poland, Germany, Austria, a week later, we don't hear this stuff. But they're like, we need this. Come to our town. And I told Kalita, If you had asked me 6 months ago if I would go to Ramallah or Hebron, I would have said, heck no. They killed Jews there. And we had to go to Bethlehem first in order for us to even consider saying yes to Ramallah or Hebron. So you could pray for that.
Can I just say, too, that's our calling. That's our calling. That's our calling. And they're so... The Palestinian people feel invisible. They feel unloved and invisible. And when we went and loved them, they drank it in. Amen. And the scripture kept playing through my head, the scripture that says the Jews will be made jealous by the Gentile. And I just, yes. I believe that there's a reaping among the Arabs and the Palestinians.
Amen.
Because
absolutely.
Our brothers and sisters in the Jewish, our Jewish brothers and sisters are coming, and it's going to be the Arabs that...
Amen. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's close in prayer, and we'll do the blessing over the bread. And yeah, you guys can sit down.
Thank you for listening all this time.
Thank you for coming. And Father God, we thank you so much for just the privilege, Lord, of being your servants. And Lord, all glory goes to you, Lord. We all we did was what you told us to do, and didn't even do that well all the time. But Lord, you still blessed it in an incredible way. And we are so grateful and thankful to you. So Lord, we just pray right now that anything that we learn from this, Lord, any fear that any of us may have, Lord, that you will just take that away, that we will trust you. We will not be held in bondage by fear. And pray if you're leading and putting it on the hearts of anyone here to be a part of one of these teams in the future, that you will make that clear, and that you will send us out as you have called us to go, Lord. And help us to be faithful here in paradise, Lord, that we will love this community in the same way that we have reached out to other communities, that we will reach out here, Lord. And forgive us, Lord, when we have... sin in our hearts, anger, resentment, whatever it might be, Lord, that is keeping you. Not that you're held back by that, but Lord, you choose to use us and work through us. And Lord, we many times in our attitude, we can keep things that you want to happen, we can not see happen in our lives. And so Lord, forgive us for those attitudes. Forgive us for hatred. Forgive us for prejudice, any kind of prejudice, Lord. And we just ask that you will cleanse us and wash us with your precious blood. We thank you for what you've done. We pray for these 17 and others, Lord, that we don't even know of, that may have come to know you because of this. We just ask for their growth in their relationship with you. And we just ask that you will protect them, and that they will grow and they will lead others to you as well, Lord. And that this will spread throughout the West Bank, throughout Jerusalem, throughout Israel, Lord, throughout that whole area. We just pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.